Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my gosh. I love the Press One for Democracy music. This is Janine Loudon from Lunch with Loudon, sitting in for Dan Aronson, who is out and about for the next month. I'll be joined later in the hour by David Lynn Molyneux, co-pilot for Lunch with Loudon, and newly elected president for Coffee Party USA. She's running a little late. Imagine that. It's kind of fun doing someone else's show. It's kind of strange for me to have the sun going down since it's 6 o'clock here on the Pacific Shore, and my show is usually at noon. So I'm excited about already by feeling like I get to stay up late or something. So this is very cool. I know Dan runs a little longer, but we're shooting for an hour tonight, and I'm looking forward to your participation. For those of you that are streaming rather than calling in, if you'd like to have something to say, you have two choices. You can put notes in the chat room, which I'm trying to watch, or you can call in at 646-929-2495. So let's begin, shall we? Tonight our topic is Eartha's statement, "This is your coffee party." In preparation for the board retreat this weekend, a survey is going to go out to all of our members asking for input. There might even be follow-up emails during the weekend as we consider the details of the year to come. Board members will be coming from Oregon, Texas, Illinois, Michigan, Colorado, New Jersey, and Virginia. We'll be meeting in Boulder, Colorado, meeting as a way to improve and enhance relationships with each other as we continue to work virtually all the rest of the year. Just sort of a means of background. So the input from folks in our survey tomorrow will be virtual. There will be email responses to a survey. But tonight you can actually impact what that survey might contain. We'd like to hear from you about your thoughts on coffee party, what is possible, and how we can move forward together. What are your hopes and concerns for the future? How does coffee party fit into those hopes and concerns? Can coffee party successfully balance the tension between dialogue and activism to create systematic change along with other organizations and people? So I know that this is sort of a wide open question, but let me give you two more just sort of points of fact before we get started. It is not too late for you to have the input of a member. And by member, we're talking about a dues-paying member of Party USA. If you'd like to have some input and you're not a member yet, you just go to www.coffeepartyusa.com/members. And you can see the options for signing up there. Frankly, it's $5 a month or a minimum. If you do a single payment, it's $30 a year. But it can be whatever you want it to be. I mean, we've never had a $10,000 member, but it could be you, right? And there's no restrictions here. What I can tell you is this is an all-volunteer organization, that all of our expenses are paid by dues and donations, and that Citizens United has not benefited us. So we also have an Indiegogo campaign to help pay for the retreat. As you can imagine, here we are, citizen volunteers all heading for the center of the country, and there are expenses. If you're interested in that, in helping to financially support this retreat, something, by the way, that's mandated in the bylaws, then you can go to Indiegogo.com and look for Indiegogo.com/projects/help-the-coffee-party-community-meet in Denver. And I've been trying to put that link in chat, and chat is misbehaving today, so if it gets nice again, I'll try putting these links in. You can also find these links on our Facebook page, Join the Coffee Party Movement, in the post about this show today, and you can find these two links if you go to Blog Talk Streaming in the explanation of the day's show, those links will be there as well. So I thank you in advance for your support for Coffee Party USA and specifically for your support for this annual board retreat. So I see lots of people in chat and I see lots of people on the phone, but I see no people with their hands up. So I'm just going to keep talking for a little bit and maybe prime the pump, as they say. We'll be talking both in the survey and on the weekend about things like civility. You know, we have a strategy on civility. We are guided by the civility pledge. If you don't know the civility pledge, you can go to www.coffeepartyusa.com and link civility pledge. We have a white paper that talks about who we are and what's been informing our conversations for quite a while. And here's a quote from the white paper about civility. We call upon the American people to transcend the hyperpartisanship that is so common today and move toward organizing communities around the mutual desire, ongoing, responsible civic engagement. So one question, or the kind of question that we would be asking is, do you continue to value and appreciate the need for a safe dialogue process that leads to personal and group action? Is our approach to civility appropriate? Is our implementation of civility working? What more or what else would you like to see about the civility process, or civility as process? And based on what people say about that, of course, then there is the follow-up strategy. She has been guided by, quote, incite civility and reason, unquote. We interpret this to mean we explore together the deeper implications of the three primary issues that Coffee Party members have identified and to find examples of their effects at work within the many other areas of environment, food, equal rights, and energy when we move forward and point to information and actions that address these issues and effects. Now, the three issues, of course, that I'm referring to are campaign finance reform, Wall Street reform, and tax code reform. The last year has been spent really pointing to campaign finance reform, money in politics, to sort of point to that as the linchpin issue, you know, and spending some time together connecting the dots between voters' rights and campaign finance, women's rights and campaign finance, environmental issues and campaign finance. There seems to always be a pretty easy link between what's happening in Congress with regard to the issues we are concerned about and the campaign structure that leaves them, our elected, beholden to their funders and not their voters. And you can sort of collect data about that. You can link it up. You can, at least with regard to not dark money, dark money is harder to track. But this has been a major strategy of our project over the last year. And so a question we could ask is, this enough? Should we do more? Do you like how we've been doing this? What would you add to this? What would you delete from it? So I'm not seeing, oh, here's a hand. I'm going to open the mic to area code 281. 281, welcome to Press 1 for Democracy. No, I'm not Dan Aronson. This is Janine Loudon. Who am I speaking with today?
How you doing? This is Vic Berta. How you doing, Janine? Nice to hear your voice and nice to get a refresher on what the coffee party is all about.
Oh, well, excellent. Thanks, Vic Berta, for calling in. So in terms of the kinds of things, you'll be at this retreat this weekend. Are there issues that you're looking forward to discussing? Is there input that this group the Press One for Democracy group could give? Are there certain questions you hope we'll be asking the membership tomorrow?
Yeah, I would actually like to hear what the members, you know, I really want us to communicate with the folks and have them tell us what they like, what they don't like, what, you know, how they better want to interact with us all, you know, with us as a group, because as you've mentioned before, Janine, what we are is America, you know, and what we're is America, trying to take care of those three pillars that you spoke about before, and it's just great that that is what we're working towards. So in working towards that, there are a lot of different ways to skin a cat or whatever the phrase is, I don't remember, but, you know, I mean, the only way we can find those different ways is for membership to, you know, communicate with us and for us to communicate it among each other and decide, you know, where do we go from here?
And I think that I think you're right about needing feedback, you know. And so we get a certain kind of feedback at Join the Coffee Party Movement because Facebook page, but that feedback is usually issue specific, and that's a slightly different dialogue, which is helpful and useful, and has its purpose, a huge purpose within our organization. But this time we're asking very specific questions about performance and about intent and hopes and dreams and concerns that we'll only really ask, you know, that we really want members to guide us. I mean, that's why we're a member-organized group, so that we can get that kind of guidance and interaction with our membership.
What is great, though, Janine, and I know it happens to all of us that individual members will send us, you know, all of us here write, and they'll send us information as far as, hey, this is one of the things we should talk about, and it's kind of interesting, but because I know as far as you're concerned, just as I am, even when radio shows are being done, a lot of them, the genesis of the radio show is, with the topic or the way things go, it's usually from some member that, you know, had some information they wanted you to find out or some information that they wanted you to talk about. So we just want people to know that, yes, in effect, that's what we're here doing, listening to what folks want us to be out there doing.
Right, right. You know, one of the exciting kinds of information I get from people, from listeners and from people who respond on the Facebook, various Facebook pages, has to do with their promoting their local organization's efforts or their participation in a
right.
like-minded organization. And so to the extent we can, or we thought we could, we've been trying to promote those events, whether they're, you know, in my state or in my half of the United States, the country. And one of the things I know that we've been talking about and where we'll reach out to our membership to discuss further is the idea that we even go another step farther and make a means by which if someone contacts us and says, hey, we're having a rally about this at this place at this time, we can actually send out an email blast to our members and followers and supporters in that area.
Right.
You know, so if it's in Colorado, we'll send it to Colorado. If it's in Texas, we'll send it to Texas. And as a way of saying, hey, this is what coffee party folks in Texas are up to. Here's how you find out about it. Here's how you join in. And the accident, and I know one of the things we're sort of looking to codify this year is the way to make that easy for folks or to even know that we can do that and to sort of get member approval for using our database that way.
Right, right. But, you know, earlier you were talking about, Janine, the
mm-hmm.
the retreat where we're going to be talking a whole lot about all these things. I tell you, one of the highlights that I'm going to have the retreat is, and folks, it's really, I don't think we call it retreat. We normally call it an unretreat because
correct.
It's not very retreatish at all. we get into a house and we lock ourselves up and we discuss policy and memberships and all that sort of stuff for several solid days. Sometimes there were times we hadn't seen the light, like in Washington, D.C. or Chicago. You know, we're locked up in that house just going through how we're going to move the process forward. But one of the great things, Janine, is for us to just all meet in person. As everybody knows, we have our meetings weekly or biweekly by phone. And there's a whole lot that gets done that way. But there's so much more that gets done when we are able to meet face-to-face and completely locked in an environment, doing the work, getting things done, and going over how do we move forward, how do we continue moving forward.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And I thank you for the expanded definition of what our 2.5-3 days in Colorado will be, because it probably should be called the annual lockdown, or it reminds me more of Brush with the Club.
I know,
when we were in Maryland last year. Go ahead.
No, so if folks ever see how we work, I mean, it's really like a lock-in, and then by the end of the day, you're so spent. I mean, it's just amazing, but I mean, it's great as well.
It is wonderful, and or it's like one of those scared straight weekends where they lock these kids up in jail. You know?
Yes.
We get scared straight about coffee party. But, you know, the beauty of it, too, and, of course, you're an entrepreneur. I owned a company. The beauty of it is, you know, whenever you communicate in writing or virtually, you have this tendency to invent the tone of voice.
Right.
And so a big part of the interpretation of that tone is just in your own head. But when you're sitting around the table or sitting around the living room and all working on the same thing at the same time and actually seeing each other and hearing that voice, then you actually understand way more completely what that person is trying to say. And so the synergy
right.
of working together is astounding. I'm pleased with how well we can work virtually. And so these weekends are always kind of like coming around, getting slingshot out, because it's so even more powerful to do that when we're sitting together. So I bet you've done magic. Some people who are listening have raised their hands. Can I put you on hold for a moment and move on for a second?
Yeah, please. Please do.
Thank you, sir. I'm opening up the mic for area code 727. Welcome to Press 1 for Democracy. Janine Loudon sitting in for Dan Aronson.
Hi, Janine. This is Mary Ann in Tampa Bay. And I'm a coffee party member and volunteer. one of the things that has occurred to me, one of the things that drew me to the coffee party was civility, the civility pledge, the transpartisanship. But I kind of have a little bit of an analogy. It's like maybe you're somebody that you're drawn to, your partner or whatever in your marriage. You're drawn to them for a certain quality that they have, and then after a while, that quality that drew you starts to drive you crazy.
Yes.
So, that's what drew me to the coffee party, was civility and transpartisanship. And if someone comes to the coffee party, and most people do have, if they're involved in any politics, they have an opinion. They are partisan, and it's. I wonder if that's something that the coffee party needs to address in some way. How we handle the passionate people on both sides, and still be civil and yet allow us to be passionate.
Well, I do think that's a great question. You know, my personal experience is civility is like a muscle that has been unused for so long that it needs exercising. And once you start exercising the civility muscle, I think you're stronger and stronger in your ability to be able to speak to people who have different points of view, to, more importantly, to listen
to people who have different points of view and who, I mean, let's face it, there are more people who don't vote than vote. There are more people that don't contribute to campaigns than contribute to campaigns. There are more people who stay home and watch reruns instead of be active citizens. And so the welcome mat, so to speak, of civility is saying, let's talk about this. And the idea is that that we'd be one step closer to active civic engagement at whatever level, or we take the next step to active civil engagement, beginning from wherever we are. So that's interesting. How would I word a question like that? And the implied question that I just heard was, are we successful at that intention? And what more could we do? What could we do to be even more successful? I like the second part of your question. What can we do to be more successful? Because obviously I'm struggling with that.
Oh, yeah. I remember my grandmother basically saying, count to 10. And then my mother telling me, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. But then I have the adult reality of speaking powerfully civil engagement, but to denigrate others in the process is not. And so for me, that's sort of the acid test. Can I speak powerfully about something without denigrating the person that I'm talking to or someone who could be listening? And so for me, this is an interpretation of my honor and respect and following of Dr. King. You know, can I hear you? Can I be with you? Can I stand with you? Even when we don't agree. So I see that Debbie Lynn has called in, and I didn't know it until I looked up her number. So I'm going to bring Debbie Lynn into this conversation. You might have heard earlier in the broadcast that she was co-piloting today and was going to be late. And so I'm going to close your mic for a sec. I'm going to open Debbie Lynn, and please stay on the line. Well, I keep saying I'm going to open. There you go. Debbie Lynn Molyneux.
Okay.
Oh, my
there
goodness.
Hey, you guys are doing great without me, you know? What do I need to be here for?
I just want to add
one thing to what Marianne was saying, is because so many people think that civility means passive or weak, you know, like we're like milquetoast.
Wimpy.
Yeah, and I really just find that it really depends on the person who's listening, because I can speak very passionately and yet remain completely civil. But people who only hear passion equals power, or agreement, there's just this way of doing it, and sometimes it's the recognition actually of what I call quiet power. Because there are things upon which, you know, principles upon which I will not move. I have very quiet power about that. I don't go out and beat my chest with it or anything. But when people hit up against one of those principles of mine, they know it. And it's a very strong position, but I'm not loud about it. If that makes any
right.
sense. And so there are ways that, you know, so for me, civility is standing in those principles for myself, but remaining extremely respectful of other folks and what their beliefs are and how their world is constructed, because it is going to be different than mine. And at the same time, even if they can't return that respect to me, my own principles say I am respectful of them, because I'm the only person I can control.
Yes.
And I find tremendous passion, you know, in what I'm doing around that idea.
Well, let me open up Marianne's mic. We have another caller I'll get to in just a second, 954. But let me open up Marianne's mic and say, Marianne, do you have a comment or a question for Debbie Lynn based on her response to your idea?
Yeah. For one thing, my dog is responding to her dogs in the background. My dog is growling at her dogs from Florida to Oregon.
Oh, great.
Oregon. Excuse me, I said that wrong. You know, I'm listening to you, and I think what for me is I grew up with people screaming across, family members screaming across the table, and me cowering upstairs, you know, and going to play with the kittens, and I don't think I've had enough experience. So I'm wondering, I'm thinking, what if you guys came up with some kind of a skit, you know, where, you know, of course you'd all have to be in the same room. I don't know. A YouTube video to teach those of us who have never, I clam up. I listen and I do what I did growing up. But if I could make a few points civilly, respectfully, if I could learn to do that rather than just shut my mouth, it might make a difference. And I don't know, maybe that's a, I'm just going to throw that out there. That's what I'd be looking for, teaching.
I totally respect that. And I just have a question for you. And that is, well, maybe two. Did the loudest person always win?
You know, I never knew.
Okay.
I retreated, and actually, in my present experience, I'm in the minority, so I don't know. I don't.
Right.
I can't count right now. But when I growing up, I really don't know.
Okay. Because I find that oftentimes the loudest person ends up being the one with the bully tendencies. And it's been really interesting for me to practice standing there in a respectful space and just saying, okay, I hear you, I choose to disagree, and then disengaging if necessary. You know, because if somebody's in there, I'm right in your stupid space, it is very difficult to continue the conversation. But yeah, I think having some skits or something, you know, some type of practice that we can do, would be a great asset. Yeah, you know, I mean, one of the reasons that I talk about bringing living room conversations into coffee party, and there's other processes that can work, but it's because it is practice. It is practice with listening. It is practice with speaking with your own voice. And from your own experience, it's a whole new way of communicating that a lot of people don't know. And so whether we, you know, I'm hoping to get to the day where we have, you know, monthly living room conversations or conversation cafe or world cafes, which, you know, whichever process we use is less important to me than the practice itself. And that's how we change things, one person at a time, each one of us changing ourselves. I'm going to leave it there.
Well, I really like. Yeah, we do have another caller. I just want to acknowledge that the chat room likes this idea of a video tutorial on civility. And I think that's an amazing concept, you know, that we actually do a little role playing and, you know, hang a sheet on the wall for the green screen or something. You know, this high tech. Or if someone out there is a videographer and would like to take on this, this project with us, Janine at coffeepartyusa.com, Janene at coffeepartyusa.com, or info. You can go info at coffeepartyusa.com. And look at this project going already. I think that's excellent. Okay, I'm going to open another caller's mic, area code 5954. My apologies, I'm starting to stammer. And there you go. Welcome to Press One for Democracy. This is Janine Loudon, not Dan Aronson.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Great, who's this?
Neil. Neil from Fort
Lauderdale. Oh, hi, Neil.
How you doing?
How are you doing?
Good. You know, my biggest problem, I mean, I discuss and I try to be civil with people. Most of the time, especially online, when there's such cognitive dissonance and when there's such just rage, I just call it rage. They really, you really, if I can't debate someone just on the merits, I ignore them. Because to me, it's a cult. If you have someone who's just so full of hate that they really can't have a rational discussion with you, there's really no real recourse. You know, I know people who are Republican, and I consider myself quite progressive. I see sometimes their point, but when they're just rage machines, and they're filled with the Fox, and I can't deal. So,
So what do you think of this idea of a civility tutorial?
Well, I mean, civility is great. I mean, I think civility is great. I mean, you need civility to move forward in anything, and if it doesn't matter if it's a marriage or politics or anything else. But our society is so polarized, and to me, I don't know what it's going to do to change it. That's the thing. We're living in like almost like two different camps, and logic and lying is acceptable. Our news media is pretty much controlled by five corporations, so there really isn't like one side. It's just they have us fighting against each other, but they're actually controlling everything. And ever since Citizens United, I hate the word, but we are moving toward kind of like fascism in a way, because we really, corporations have unlimited power, and we really, our so-called elected officials work for them, and it's getting worse every year.
Yes, yes. I mean, there was the McCutcheon decision, and then there was the Hobby Lobby decision, and so I'm curious then, if you believe that in a power of civility, in other words, one of the things you mentioned was, you can't deal, you walk away, and which I, by the way, I'm a boy mom. All my kids by birth anyway were boys, and my biggest advice to them was walk away, because no one ever tries to goad you into a fight they don't think they can win.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, this is pretty basic. But the other thing is how, you can walk away by slamming the door and calling someone names. You can walk away by saying, I'm never going to talk to you again. Or you can just back away, and sort of say goodbye. And you know what I'm saying? So for me, in my exercise of that muscle we've talked about, civility, is more about graciously exiting a conversation that isn't a conversation, right? And to recognize when a conversation is a conversation, and then making contact, like really meaningful contact with someone in writing, in person, when it's worth your time, and when it doesn't cost you your dignity, or where you're not stealing someone else's dignity in order to have that conversation. And it is a practice. And it's something that you have to work at. Hopefully, what Marianne sort of asked for is what more can we do to have that be a position of effective strength, or just an effective position. That's a better way to say it.
I got something to add here, Janine. One of the things, too, you talk about recognizing when a conversation, it can't go anywhere. I had this experience on a two-hour plane ride where I was sitting next to an evangelical Christian, and I'm not a Christian. And we started talking about religion and how we've kind of constructed our world. And he was pretty on board with, that we do have things that we choose to believe or not believe. But then what he told me, we're into this an hour and a half, and I was like, well, I totally respect, that is your religion and that's your belief, and then we start talking about proselytizing. And embedded in his belief system and in the evangelical Christian movement is this idea that if I were to die and go to hell, it would somehow be his responsibility because he was unable to persuade and convert me. And I recognized at that moment this spine, this catch-22 that some people have, whether it's a religious philosophy or a political philosophy, but they've taken on responsibility for other people and their ability to persuade and convince is what helps them to win, if you will, rather than seeing that everything is really okay as it is and we just have all these different perspectives to add to a better tomorrow, to create a better future for ourselves. And so the last 30 minutes on that flight was really long because he just kept after me, trying to persuade and convince me that I should, change my belief system, no matter how well developed I have my belief system already, or that I've already gone through that phase of my life. And it was an interesting and eye-opening experience for me to understand when he could not be respectful of my belief system because it was in direct conflict with his ability to succeed.
Well, that's an interesting catch-22, isn't it? But
yeah.
I want to acknowledge you, Debbie Lynn, because I say that it is your commitment to civility and human dignity that made that conversation even possible.
Yeah, you know,
now actually know something about him you didn't know before. You now actually know something about that worldview that you didn't know before. And so your world is bigger, his world is bigger, and he gets to deal with his feelings of failure. You know, for himself, you can't.
Oh yeah.
But
well, and
but,
that
I think civility.
Yeah. Well, and there's this thing about, you know, where we're all in a community together, but we're not necessarily responsible for each other. We're collaborating with each other. But I'm not responsible for him, and he's not responsible for me. And that's, you know, and that's the catch-22 that gets caught up in some belief system.
Sure. Well, we've spent a little time here talking about how questions directed to the membership about civility, about our commitment to civility and our practice of that commitment, how we might query that with the membership, and then what we might discuss at the retreat this weekend. And there are some other questions that I was sort of going through the rough draft of the questionnaire that's going out tomorrow to our membership. And here's a part on the term, on the idea of action. And what it says here is, we've taken the position that any and every step an individual takes is a contribution toward claiming the people's rightful place in this republic's democracy. And then we quote the white paper. We said, we need more in quality and quantity, direct engagement with our government officials and with one another. Participating in our democracy should not be just about voting every 2 to 4 years, relying only on what appears in mainstream media and in campaign ads, and then hoping for the best. We need to engage the government in a way that promotes accountability to the public, transparency, and the spirit of e pluribus unum, out of many, one. So in terms of action, are there questions that we should be asking the membership? Are there considerations that we have? Marianne, I can start with you. What types of actions do you take personally? Like, not take personally, take as a person. and what moves you from one step to the next?
What Debbie Lynn was just talking about, you know, I understand when people have different religious or non-religious beliefs, whatever, that really does not affect, I don't think it affects each other. That's a personal thing. But when you see other people having different beliefs than you and it's political, you know that that's going to affect you because they're going to go and they're going to vote, and that's going to affect you. So I have a little bit of, you know, a problem with correlating those two, political beliefs and religious beliefs. I don't know if that does not answer your question, does it, Janine?
Oh, no, but it's out here in the ether now, and that's just fine. So, for example, do you feel like when you've taken action when you sign a petition? Do you feel like you've taken action when you call an elected representative? What's your threshold of action? How far should we expect to take each other? What opportunities for action should we be providing? I guess is the kind of question we would ask the membership. And so I'm curious if that's a question that's meaningful to you, or if there's another dimension to being an active citizen that you feel we should explore.
Well, I think you guys are already exploring looking into more local coffee party chapters. I think there's a lot of people that would be on board with that. Myself being in a rural area, being too far away, that doesn't apply to me, so I think the national part of the coffee party is, you know, relevant to people like me.
Well, you raise a good point there, you know, because there's a whole lot of things that we can, we talked earlier in this show about directing people to action that's consistent with the, our stated position on things. And so many of them happen in Washington, D.C., in New York City, in Chicago, and I may not be, well, I live in the fourth, you know, outside of a city of 50,000. And on the West Coast, in the different time zone. So to me, I am the champion of what can you do sitting in your chair? What can you do from your house? And then what can you do in your city? You know, what can you do where you are? It's kind of like that bloom where you're planted idea. And so while a chapter is certainly a wonderful thing, an affiliate, a related organization is a wonderful thing, do you feel, what would it take for you to feel empowered? What kind of action could Coffee Party take to empower your participation at your particular location or in your particular life circumstance?
I'll tell you, I think there's an awful lot of things that can be done, just, you know, disabled people, whatever, just from sitting in your chair at your computer. Twitter, you know, there's like Twitter bombs that go out. If the Coffee Party could share things like that. Last night there was a Twitter bomb that went out, and I can't remember what the topic was. I'm sorry. but if the Coffee Party could help, they call that clicktivism. It's people that sit at their computers and they're activists, but they're doing it just from their computer. Maybe the Coffee Party could get on board with some of that clicktivism.
Interesting. I was about to ask Neil the same question, and we just lost him. So I want to thank Neil for calling in, and I look forward to you speaking with you on future shows. Okay. I mean, again, we're sort of reaching here for what kind of questions we could ask, what kind of things could we consider, and what kind of what can we even carry from this Block Talk show into the meeting this weekend so that we come out the other side with a strategic plan that holds meaning for all of you and you personally, frankly. Debbie Lynn, do you have a thought about this?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say, you know, one of the other things that we can all do, you know, from our homes that is connected to collectivism, but it's also just calling the offices of our representatives. There's a hierarchy of what interaction with our elected officials matters most. And so the kind of the sign the petition thing is kind of at the low end of the scale. And then sending in a postcard or a letter moves it up there. A phone call is a little bit more important. It gets more attention. And an in-person visit, of course, is the best. And they all will see us. We just have to, you know, take the time to go if we want to go to their office. But the phone calls can definitely be made from home. And that's, you know, kind of ranks as the second highest form of interaction with our elected officials. And so one of the things I'm hoping that we can do is as legislation gets before Congress or Senate or for people who are paying attention in their local areas, things that get in front of their local government, you know, let's have some type of campaigns that say, okay, on this day we're going to call. And everybody, you know, we have a day. That's the Coffee Party day. Call in to our legislators.
Excellent. So, yeah, Eli. It's certainly not a new idea, but it is an effective idea. And it's also, you know, one that... I mean, the whole purpose of the survey we're sending out tomorrow and a big part of the purpose for the weekend is to incorporate the beliefs, feelings, needs of the membership into our strategic plan. And so I think, again, great input there. Okay, we have more input from chat. This one is from Tim Danahay. Welcome, Tim. It's wonderful to see you here. Let's see. It's often effective to politely ask those who disagree with you to please explain their logic. Your active engagement in his or her thoughts allows them to think and verbalize their opinions completely. They'll often moderate and move to the center. Nice. I agree with that completely. Sort of the peaceful and powerful approach to things. And I'm sorry you can't hear Tim's voice. It's wonderful that he's streaming today, but Tim is the newest member of the Coffee Party Board of Directors and will be with us in Colorado. So we'll have a show soon where we talk to Tim and you'll get to know him better. Okay, so the other things that we were looking at asking or inquiring our membership kind of had to do with campaigns, which is kind of what we're talking about, but kind of different. The segue is, you know, what if we all did this on the same day, as opposed to what if we all did this? And so kind of the difference between a campaign and a good idea or even a great action is how we do it together. Right now we have three campaigns that have been going on. One is called Be the Media, and you're listening to a Be the Media program today. We also have Facebook, Twitter. People threaten to do Google Plus. It hasn't become a strong reality yet. But the notion is not just to be online and not just to be commenting, but to be feeding well-vetted information into the daily news cycle, if you will, of people who participate in social media. And so it's not just chatting along. It's also doing research, in some cases doing the reporting, you know, being the quote-unquote boots-on-the-ground person, or creating, you know, blogging and blogging, posting, commenting in such a way that reason, the second part of insight, civility, and reason, fact-based reason gets injected into the news cycle. The second one is called Active Citizen. An active citizen is our project where we are doing what we can to empower members and followers to participate in just the kind of things we were just talking about. Participate in this letter bomb or the postcard bomb, or participate in the call-in, or participate if there's a local activity near you. The third one is a project that we've called Free the Elected. And Free the Elected is sort of in the background, and it's in the foreground at the same time. When we do, our membership said, yes, money in politics is the linchpin concept. And of our three pillars of our platform, which are campaign finance reform, Wall Street reform, tax code reform, the campaign finance reform is the one, the thing that keeps folks ineffective in the other two, as well as all the other areas that are related to that. Like, why can't we grab control of our food industry? Well, ask Congress, and Congress is going to be asking the people who write checks for their campaigns, perhaps and usually more often than their voters. Same thing with voting rights, same thing with women's rights, as we said earlier. So Free the Elected is really the concept that we'll go anywhere, do anything, and participate fully in all things that are about getting money out of politics. And so you sort of see it as an overriding theme. But I think this year we'll take it from a thematic campaign to something more tangible. So when I say Free the Elected, Marianne, what do you think of?
Oh, well, I think of a politician who is just, he may have his own ideas and what he wants to vote for, but he can't. He's constrained by money. And he would like for us to help him and free him, but we have to do it in numbers because we have to be louder than the money.
Well, and don't you think the vote last week in Congress was, okay, yes,
I've
heard the sigh across America.
Oh, absolutely. And I've seen it. It really awoke people. I mean, I saw it all over Twitter, and it just all of a sudden everything is about money and politics and Citizens United ever since that. So I really did think it woke a sleeping giant.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that they actually come back with a better bill that addresses corporate personhood in addition to the campaign finance reform itself. Because we do need both. We do need to address both of those.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and that's an interesting. Yes, you're right. You know, the whole mm-hmm. move to man position about money is not speech and corporations are not people is
right.
What their purpose of the Constitutional Convention or Constitutional Amendment, whether it goes through Congress or convention, is about.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I certainly heard a lot of people who are believing in the convention idea reinforced by the vote last week.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to ask you to fill in the blanks, like when, tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. When I say free the elected, I say free the elected, .. from the tyranny of money and politics. Debbie Lynn, you have a different end to that sentence.
It's more along the lines of free the elected to serve the people they represent. You know,
excellent.
That have elected them.
Right. And Marianne, if you were to finish that sentence, what would you say?
Well, if I was a politician and I got into politics to do what I thought was going to be, you know, the right thing to do, and I got into politics and found out I couldn't because of money, I would want to be free to do what I think is best.
Exactly. Well, you know, the whole idea of free the elected came from Coffee Party Lobby Day a few years ago. We were in Washington, D.C. I saw my entire congressional group,
delegation.
You know, my two senators. Yes, thank you, delegation. My two senators and my representative. And independently of each other totally and in slightly different words, so you knew this wasn't a talking point, when we talked about what they're up to, when we talked about Coffee Party, then I turned around and I said, what can we do for you? And all three of them said, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what it came down to, free me from
mm-hmm.
the constant need to
mm-hmm.
raise money. Free
mm-hmm.
me from that telephone. Free me from those fundraisers. Free me to do the job I was sent here to do. And to not do what, you know, to help, so that they don't have to constantly be glad-handing and going the wrong place at the wrong time. And what they should be doing is occupying the halls of Congress and doing the people's business. And
but they need the numbers.
And it would be
right.
nice if they actually sat in Congress to talk to one another instead of getting in there to make speeches to C-SPAN when nobody else is in the room and then showing up every once in a while for a vote that they have to show up for. It would be so nice to actually have that back and forth instead of 70 to 80% of the time being spent raising money.
Yes. So the chat room has answered the question or finished the sentence. And it's free to listen to the people that elected them. So it'd be like free the elected to listen or to hear, to be able to hear the people that elected them. So I think it might even be fun to do a little contest and let people, because there's such brilliance out there. Somebody will come up with finishing that sentence so eloquently that anyone that heard it would understand it. I think that would be great fun. So, you know, maybe that's something we could take on. Is our little free the elected, it's not a limerick, what is it, jingle? No.
No, well, we'd have a contest. We just do a contest to have to come up
yeah.
with a new one for free the elected.
Oh, competition. Bring the competition out in this.
Exactly.
Yep.
But
I can see just you're typing some in here to the chat room, Janine, and I can see how it's, yeah, we could just go on a brainstorming session even on that. That'd be great fun.
Right, right. And we could invite other organizations to play. You know, what
mm-hmm.
would the Root Strikers people answer? What would the Move On people answer? What would the Move to Amend people answer? What would
mm-hmm.
Represent Us answer? What would Wolfpack answer? You know, and the millions more. and the millions more out there who are dipping their toe in the ocean called citizen engagement. So it might be a fun way to lure them into the conversation. And, of course, those are the folks we want to talk to, the real people. Not that you're not real, Debbie Lynn. Not that you're not real, Mary.
I know. I get it.
So speaking of getting real, we're coming to the end of our hour. And so I have a couple things I do every meeting or every broadcast, and I'll do this now. And then I'm going to ask you both for just a closing comment. Coffee Party USA is totally crowdfunded. Citizens United has not benefited us. To become a voting member or to donate, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com. We have two other shows on Coffee Talk Radio. This, of course, is Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Press 1 for Democracy with Dan Aronson and Janine Loudon and David Lynn Molyneux and Marianne. I always say your last name wrong. Say your last name, Marianne.
Celia.
Thank you, Celia. And then on Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific, Lunch with Loudon. Yay. And then Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, Politics on Right with Egberto Willis. You heard his voice earlier in the broadcast. So, Marianne, closing comments. What would you like the board to discuss, or how do you feel about what we've discussed so far?
I'm just looking forward to hearing what comes out of your very, very intense storming session.
Me too. Thanks, Marianne, and thanks for calling in. Debbie Lynn.
Closing thoughts for tonight. I'm really grateful for everybody that called in and participated tonight. We're going to be doing a lot of work back in Boulder. I'm trying to allow a couple hours for us to actually leave the house. People think it's, you know, some vacation we go on. It's like, well, we spend all the 3 days in the house together and they leave and we never see anything. So I know we're going to do some great work, and I'm really looking forward to reporting back to members on it and then getting some more volunteers on board and actually taking action to make it all happen.
Excellent. So before Debbie Lynn cues Dan Aronson's closing music, I want to thank everyone who listened in, who called in. And if you would like to have input to the directors when they meet in Colorado this weekend, you can send comments to info@coffeepartyusa.com. And I promise you your input will be included in our weekend. So thanks, everyone, and Coffee Party on.
In the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again, yeah. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide. My home.